to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning. We're waiting the, we'll see if it happens or not, Chairman Wall, whether or not he will call in here maybe shortly, but Chairman of the Alabama Republican Party. It came up last night, if you were just tuning in, I was the moderator of another Fairhope City Council forum last night at the Fairhope First Baptist Church. And it came up a lot, Chairman Walls, well, not him, his name by, was it, but directly, but the Alabama Public Library Service was. And we'll get into that. He's joining us now on the line. Chairman, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's good to be on the show.
Hey, thank you for hopping on. We always appreciate your time. Well, let's just tell the audience this, and I wanted, you know, last night, as expected, the Fairhope Library saga came up, and some of the incumbents, this is what they said when asked about it. They still believe, and I wanted to get you to react to it, they still believe that it wasn't like a due process, that, you know, they said they got a letter that they were in compliance, and then a few days later had gotten a letter that they were not in compliance, and then there's the funding pause and the sort of the lack of a proceeding, if you will, they considered it to be unfair. What do you say to that?
Well, look, let's be clear about two things. One, and I'll start in order. One, when they were in compliance as far as their policy go. They set new policies that complied with state code, removing sexually explicit material out of children's sections, and making sure that we put control back with parents of Alabama. Now, what they failed to do was actually follow through on those policies. So there's two components in state code. One is you have to have policies in place that ensure we're protecting those innocent members of our society, our children. But the second part of it is you actually had to follow through and remove the books. And that's where the Fairhope Library did not comply. Either with state code or, ironically, with their own policies they just passed. And I don't want to get into whether that was intentional, whether they were just trying to, you know, pass policy but not follow through. But as far as a lack of due process, let's be very clear. The Fairhope Library saga had been going on for over a year at the time. The APLS board has been very clear with libraries across the state exactly what is required. And it's very simple. This is not complicated stuff. Move any book, any children's books that contain sexually explicit images or content to the adult section, where then parents can decide whether their children should check it out or not. Very simple, very easy. Fairhope never needed to be out of compliance, and they could still be in compliance today if they did that one simple thing. And so I think it's disingenuous for anyone to claim there was not due process, there was not clear guidelines. Everything was made very clear. I've had multiple conversations with the Fairhope Library since then. They know what's at stake. They know what they need to do, and all they need to do is take steps to comply with the very simple state codes that are in place.
The other question, and then this is sort of the other angle to this, and I guess it's a valid discussion, a valid argument. I mean, should Montgomery be in the business of policing municipal libraries?
No, look, absolutely. If state taxpayer funds are used, then absolutely the state library board has a compelling interest to look after the taxpayers of the state of Alabama. And that's what this is about. Defending the taxpayers and letting their voice be heard. I'm tired of seeing unelected bureaucrats run all over parents, run all over citizens, because they think they know how to live their life and know what's best for our children. And they know how to live our lives better than we do. And so I think this is so simple. We as the APLS board, as the chairman of the APLS board, wanted to return control and power to the people. And you do that through the purse strings. Far too long, we have let bureaucrats control where money goes, and they feel like it's theirs. They feel entitled. And this is very simple. We're saying, no, the Constitution starts with we the people. And that's what this is about, returning control to the people and especially the parents when it comes to what their children are exposed to.
And, you know, the guidelines, the last argument that I'll ask you, just get you reacted. It's just not clear that you guys are kind of making it up as you go along that, you know, I mean, I guess you've heard these arguments, but how do you respond to that, that this wasn't made specifically clear in this circumstance?
Yeah, look, every single library got the new code change, and they had got a tremendously long grace period because we wanted to give them time to implement it and do whatever they felt they needed to do to make sure they were in compliance. We're still working with libraries. We're still working on this process. We're taking time. So all we ask is that libraries are doing their due diligence, that they're trying. What Fair Hope did that made Fair Hope different is when parents came in and asked the local library board to please consider relocating books that did contain sexually explicit content. Let's be clear, they were in violation. They did contain sexually explicit content. And the Fair Hope Library Board refused to even hear their request. That's at that time, that's when the board said, okay, if you're refusing parents a redress agreement, you're refusing to even hear their case, we have to step in and we have to make sure that those parents have a chance to actually make sure that these books in their local libraries are in compliance with state code. And that's when we stepped in. So look, if Fair Hope is looking for the boogeyman who lost their state funding, they need to look internal. They need to look at the people who refuse to listen to parents. They need to look at the people who openly were espousing putting sexually explicit content in front of minors. And they need to look at the people who ignored the very clear guidance coming from APLS.
Oh, yeah. And one other thing, and this came up, that somehow Fair Hope was being singled out. Why Fair Hope? Why haven't there been other cities that have faced the same sort of scrutiny? Respond to that.
Yeah, well, it goes back to what I was just talking about. I've not had a single other library in the entire state that refused to give parents the chance to ask for reconsideration based on state code. Fair Hope was the only one, and that is why the state board was left no choice. If Fair Hope had tried to work with us, tried to work with parents, they would not have lost the funding. They are the only library in the state who were that aggressive against parents, and it left the state APLS board with no choice but to respond with the power we had, which was enforcing state code.
Because if I'm not mistaken, Chairman, if I'm not mistaken, there's like a similar issue with some books in Birmingham, and the librarians there, they just moved it to another shelf and all was forgiven, right?
I mean, ironically, I mean, that's all we're asking of even Fair Hope. All we're asking is the books be moved to the adult section, just to another shelf in the library. Just take it out of a section where an innocent child could accidentally stumble across it. If parents still want their children to have access to this content, which I encourage them not to, I think this is harmful content for young people. But if a parent wants to, the APLS board is not going to stand in their way. We're not banning books. We're not stopping books. All we're saying is let's not put it on shelves dedicated and designed for children where innocent children who their parents don't want them to have access to this accidentally stumble across it. Because that's a tragedy. The vast majority of Alabama parents do not want their children exposed to sexually explicit images or content. And we need to respect those parents. This is about listening to people, and this is about listening to both sides and trying to find a solution where parents who want access to it can still get that for their children. But the majority of parents who just want to be able to trust their local library, who just want to be able to feel safe with their children browsing in the children's sections, shouldn't feel uncomfortable with letting their children into our libraries. That's the bottom line. We want everyone in Alabama to feel welcome and respected when they come into an Alabama library.
I'm joined by John Wall, chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, chairman of the Alabama Public Library Service. And putting on your ALGOP hat, if you will. And, you know, we had this sort of skirmish at one of the annual meetings a couple of years ago, the teachers union and the funding and the AEA, and you've restricted those donations on school board races. things that are directly associated with education. Now, talk about it more broadly. I mean, is it in the cards? Is it a possibility that we would ever see that, you know, go to a – it would be a disqualification if you were in the – you're running for any other office to accept money from the AEA?
I mean, look, the party is never going to limit ourselves or our influence or power by saying no, that we would never do that. But look, if we look at the current situation, and by the way, going back to that change, that was actually a standing rule that I put forward, stepped down as chairman for, you know, recused myself from the podium to come down and advocate for it because it's something I felt strongly about. We see this across the board in politics. We have too many conflicts of interest. We have too many, situations where, a teacher's union or a special interest groups buys off the regular, you know, the regulators of that agency or departments. And so I felt like this was very, very simple. We see it with the Public Service Commission, where in state law, utilities are not allowed to contribute to candidates running for Public Service Commission. And I said, look, the party needs to have the same standard when it comes to education. We have a duty to protect our education institution, protect our teachers, protect our students, protect the minds of our children. From undue influence. And when we were looking at this, and a lot of this rule is also targeted towards the National Education Association, where we see this draconian agenda pushing socialism and wokeness on our schools. And we said, okay, how do we cut down on the national influence and try to return control to the local level in our education? And so that's where this standing rule came from. It came from that desire to say, look, we need State board, local school boards, superintendents, their first priority should be to the parents and to the children. And so we said, look, conflict of interest with the teachers union, let's just take them out of the equation for Republican candidates where our voters and our parents can make sure that our elected officials, Republican elected officials, are putting them first. As far as that rule moving, and going broader, I have actually been... I try to be a diplomat, and I try to work with everyone as much as I can. And as the party has been working towards things like curriculum transparency, towards school choice, removing divisive concepts out of classrooms, transgender items out of classrooms, I have actually reached out and I have worked with the AEA on multiple of these issues and have a rapport with them. It's one of those things where we have been able to find common ground. And work with them through the legislative process. And as long as that can continue, as long as the AEA will not oppose Republican principles and conservative principles, I see no reason that they would be at risk for this, stronger rules coming into place.
Well, I mean, and so we could go back to 2010 and, you know, the whole Hubbard era. But, I mean, is it just because the AEA is – maybe less hostile to Republican candidates. They're less hostile because, you know, I read their newsletter and it can be a taxing read, I would say, when it comes to what Republicans want to do. I mean, they're anti-school choice and they talk in a very derogatory tone about it. And maybe they have to do that for their membership. I don't know, but it is, I mean, do Republicans in this state feel like the AEA is not the threat maybe it was in the early 2000s or 1990s?
I mean, they're definitely not the legislative threat. Let's be very clear. Like I said, I had a sit-down conversation with them, and I let them know opposing school choice was not an option. School choice was going to happen. It was a party priority, and they did not oppose it. And I understand they, like you said, they may have to talk to their membership. I have encouraged AEA to actually get down to their base level, talk to their teachers, because I'm going to tell you right now, if I go over which group of people contact me the most upset about what's going on in government, about what's going on in classrooms, it's local teachers. They've been burdened down with red tape. They don't want to teach some of the garbage that's coming, from woke bureaucrats above them, and they want creativity returned to the classrooms in Alabama. And so, I think if AEA will listen to their base membership, the local teachers, I think there's actually a lot of overlap in values between the Alabama Republican Party and our local teachers. It's the bureaucrats in between that are the problem. And so I encourage the AEA to get in line with their members, actually, and come on board and actually fight for good policies that cuts red tape out of our classrooms, that returns more control to their members in our local classrooms, and gets parents more involved. That's what we should all want. That's what will make education better in Alabama.
I mean, is that a little bit of it, though? I mean, I don't know the disconnect between the teachers, the AEA, and then everything else going on politically, but you seem to think that there's maybe an ideological compatibility with teachers and more, maybe not full-on conservatism, but at least kind of putting an end to some of the woke DEI stuff going on in the classroom.
I really do. I really do. I think the average teacher in Alabama is far more conservative than people think, or that the AEA realizes.
Well, that's just to be continued. Hey, Chairman, we're out of time, but we always appreciate you making time for us. We'll do it again next week.
Oh, it's always good to be on the show. I'll look forward to it.
All right. That was Alabama Republican Party Chairman John Wall. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back to wrap it up. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Roping old blue northern and milking Timmy's dry. Bulldog the Mississippi, fences down flat. Long before you take this cowboy's hat. Now if your leather jacket means to you what this hat means to me, then I get...